welcome you to our morning worship here at Ballygan Free Presbyterian Church, and we trust the Lord will bless you as you meet with us around the Word of God today. I trust you'll be able to link in Sermon Audio or Facebook Live or YouTube and whatever device you're using. We trust the Lord will bless you and your family today. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we come to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, and we pray for a sense of thy presence as we meet around thy word today. May we be conscious that the Lord is with us, that his presence doth make the feast. And Father, we do ask of thee that thou wouldst speak to every heart. We pray for any who know thee not, they may be brought to a saving experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And grant, Lord, that today thy people will be strengthened and helped through thy word as well. We pray in the Saviour's name. Amen. We will worship the Lord in the singing of the Psalm 126, when Zion's bondage God turned back, as men that dreamed were we, and filled with laughter was our mouth, our tongue with melody. You'll find it in your hymn book if you have one handy, on page 122. The psalm and hymn you'll hear this morning were sung at previous services in our church. Together in prayer, let us all pray. Our gracious God and our eternal Father, we bow in thy holy presence this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank thee for the access that we have to the throne of grace. We thank thee for the place we can obtain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we're needy today, and we are conscious of our need. But we thank thee that we're conscious also that thou art greater than our greatest need, and thou canst meet us at the point of our need. For my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches and glory, by Christ Jesus. And Father, today we pray for thy presence with us, to meet around thy word. We pray that we might take that good part that Mary took when she sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. So often, Lord, we're cumbered about with much serving, and many things of life occupy our minds legitimately during the course of a week, and even a day, or even some hours of a day. But Lord, we thank thee for this, the Lord's day. We can come apart, we can rest, we can meet with thee, we can come and hear thy word, and we pray that the blessing of God will be upon each family, each individual today who listens in to this service. We pray, Father, that thou wouldst encourage those that need encouragement, that thou wouldst uplift those that need to be uplifted. We pray, Father, that thou wilt correct those who need correction, that thou wilt give all of us instruction from thy word, that we might be edified and built up in our holy faith. We pray for those who are not saved. We pray that Thou wouldst lead them today to personal faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For any who are backslidden, bring them back into the fellowship of the Lord again. Restore unto them the joy of Thy salvation. Father, remember all the needs of every individual in our congregation. Those who are sick, those who have been hospitalized, those who are ill at home, recovering from various ailments. At this time, we pray that Thou wilt minister to them. Those who are waiting on appointments, we pray that Thou wilt help them to get the appointment soon. And grant, Lord, that Thou wilt bring them through the difficult time that they're going through at this present time. Those, O God, who are still mourning the loss of loved ones, we pray for comfort for all such, even at this time. Lord, we pray for Thy blessing upon our church family and upon the wider community. We pray, Father, that Thou wouldst remember the people who are in hospital, even through COVID, and ill with other serious illnesses. We pray, Father, that You draw near to them. Give help to doctors and nurses. And grant, Lord, that they may recover, if it be Your holy will. You remember, O God, Reverend Fitzsimons, as he recovers from COVID. We thank Thee for the improvement in recent days, and we pray that this will continue. We pray for his wife and family, that Thy hand will be upon them, that Thy servant will recover fully. Remember Reverend Abraham. We pray for him too, that Thou will touch him, that he will recover. Remember also Dr. Wilson. We pray again for him, that he will know Thy touch, and he will know Thy healing, and know recovery to wanted health and strength. And for others, O God, who need Thee today, in their time of sorrow, in their time of sickness, whether it be physical sickness or mental illness, we pray, O God, that You would remember those two parents who are struggling with homeschooling, and Lord, those who are at university are struggling for working from home and all the lectures online. We pray for help and for each one, and we pray that Thou wilt bless each home and each family in these days. Father in heaven, we do pray that Thou wouldst remember our land, our nation, this world, the nations of the world. We think of governments struggling with this coronavirus. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt help them, give them wisdom. Thou hast told us to pray for those in authority, and we pray for them today. We thank Thee for the vaccination process. We thank Thee for how it's been rolled out in so many people across our land, across this island, across the nation. And other parts of the world have received vaccinations already. We pray for others who are waiting, that soon they will receive their vaccinations. And soon, Lord, there will be, O God, a return to a degree of normality in our society. Bless our church services as they resume this week. Again, we pray for help and, Lord, safety for all who will gather. And we pray that Thou wilt bless the people, that even it will help them to even see other people and meet in the house of God. How we have missed that over these past few months, and even at different periods through the past year. But Lord, we pray that Thou wilt continue Thy blessing upon us, and meet with us around Your word today, and bless our souls and encourage our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. Well, boys and girls, we've been thinking about the story of Moses in recent times, and this is quiz day. So you have an opportunity now to get your pen and your paper, or maybe your parents can get a pen and paper and write down the questions. In a little while, they're going to appear on the screen, and I will go through them one by one. And then next week, if you have answered and text into me, to my text, if you text into me your answers, then the first who gets the most right, you get them all right, that's really good. If you get the most right and you're first to do that, you'll get a prize. And the second person to do it will get a prize also. So there are prizes, and you'll not get those until I see you hopefully next week. But Moses was the chosen of God. And of course, boys and girls, he was in the backside of the desert, and he was minding the sheep of Jethro, his father-in-law. And Moses, of course, was doing this work. But God met with Moses. And where did God meet with Moses? He met him at the burning bush, and he revealed himself in person to Moses at the burning bush. And so, boys and girls, we discover that the children of Israel at this time were in bondage in Egypt, and they were having to work very hard because Pharaoh and the Egyptians were very hard on them. And they were in bondage. They were like slaves in the land of Egypt. And boys and girls, it was a very difficult time for the children of Israel. But God had called Moses to be the leader of his people, the people of Israel, the people of God, out of the land of Egypt. And so, boys and girls, God was going to provide a way whereby his people could go out of the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh was hard in his heart, and he wouldn't listen to the request that they leave and go out of the land of Egypt to worship the Lord. But he wouldn't hear tell of it, boys and girls. And so we discover how the Lord sent judgment upon the land of Egypt, and he sent 10 plagues upon the land of Egypt. And of course, the last of the plagues was the worst of all. It was the death of the firstborn. And only those who had the lamb slain and the blood applied would be safe in the day of God's judgment on Egypt. And the children of Israel were safe because they had the blood applied. And boys and girls, were only safe when we have the blood of Jesus applied to our hearts. And so God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, boys and girls. The blood was applied to their houses, and God provided a way of escape for them. And Pharaoh, in the middle of the night, he wanted the children of Israel out because of this awful calamity that had come upon Egypt. And so, boys and girls, they went out from the land of Egypt, and God provided, even from the Egyptians, all that they needed for the journey in the land. And so, boys and girls, we've had the story of Moses. And now we come to the questions, boys and girls. And the questions, one by one, will come this morning. And so, the first question is, where was Moses when God called him? Where was Moses when God called him? I'll give you a moment to get that question down. Or maybe you're very good at remembering it. Where was Moses when God called him? That's the first question. Now the second question is, what was the name of Moses' father-in-law? Now, I could give you a clue. It begins with J. So that's a clue, boys and girls. What was the name of Moses' father-in-law? It begins with J. And then thirdly, where did God show himself to Moses? God showed himself to Moses. Where did God show himself to Moses? And then number four, we will come to number four. What did God tell him to do at that moment when God met him? He told him to do something. Now you need to think about your feet, boys and girls. That's a clue. Think about your feet, and then you'll get the answer, hopefully, to that question. What did God tell him to do at that moment? Number four. Now, number five, boys and girls, the next question is, how were the children of Israel treated in Egypt? How were they treated? And you may think about the letter S. What were they? How were they treated in Egypt? And that's a clue. The letter S is a clue to that question. And so you can think about that. How were the children of Israel treated in Egypt? That's question number five. Question number six. Who was going to lead them out of Egypt? Who was going to lead God's people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt? I think you should all know that one, boys and girls. So we'll not give you any clues for that one. Number seven. Now, what happened when Pharaoh, king of Egypt, wouldn't let the children of Israel leave? What happened, boys and girls? Something happened. And it wasn't very pleasant and it wasn't very nice. But because they disobeyed God and wouldn't listen to Moses, boys and girls, then, of course, they wouldn't listen to the Lord, in fact. That's what happened. And so, question 7, what happened when Pharaoh, king of Egypt, wouldn't let the children of Israel leave? Now, question number 8, how many plagues were sent upon the land of Egypt? How many plagues were sent? Now, again, most boys and girls who've been at Sunday school or children's meeting or being taught by your parents or listening in church will know the answer to that question. Number 9, what was the last plague? The last plague. And boys and girls, that was a very, very severe plague. The last plague. What was the last plague? And then number 10, the last question. What happened as a result of that last plague? What happened, boys and girls? Now, you may give a few different answers. We'll allow a few different answers for that because I could think immediately of a few different answers. What happened as a result of that last plague? And so, boys and girls, these are the questions this morning. Now, if you've got the answers, you write them down, you send me a text, or get your parents to send me a text with the answers. I said the first one with the most answers correct will get a prize, and the second also will get a prize. So send them in, boys and girls, and next week we'll see you about the prizes. Now we do again welcome you to our service today, and we trust the Lord will bless our coming together in His name. Remember the season of prayer in our homes this afternoon. We encourage you to meet at some stage in our homes to seek the Lord's face and engage in prayer, as we've been encouraging you all along through this period of pandemic. And in the gospel service online tonight, and I hope to be the preacher again. And the subject tonight is vitally important questions. The Bible brings before us some vitally important questions. And we're going to deal with vitally important questions tonight in the gospel service. We'll have ministry and song from two of our youth fellowship, Jessica and Naomi. God willing, will be along to minister in song. And we trust the Lord will bless them as they minister to us tonight. In line with previous announcements, we are planning to return to church this Wednesday evening for our Bible study and prayer meeting in the church hall at 8 p.m. Church will be open from about 10 to 8, and we trust that you will remember that. All of the health restrictions apply, of course, social distancing, hand sanitizing, face covering. If you have COVID or are isolating because of it, please do not attend. You'll understand all of these things from before, but we remind you of them. And we trust those who are able to join with us on Wednesday evening will do so at the prayer meeting and Bible study, continuing our studies in the survey of the New Testament. This week, we're looking at Paul's letter to Philemon, and so we're getting on very well. We're moving well through to the latter part of the New Testament, and it's Paul's letter to Philemon on Wednesday evening. And then the missionary offering is for Faith and Action Mission. Some weeks ago we had a video of this work. You may have sent offerings in for it. If you've done that, that's fine. But the basket there on Wednesday night will be for that missionary offering, for that work that we heard about and you'd be familiar with from meetings in the past. So remember that for Wednesday evening, God will look forward to seeing you again and to having some degree of fellowship together. And it's all at a distance, but at least we can see each other and join together on Wednesday evening for the Bible study and prayer meeting. Friday night at 8 p.m. there's a presbytery meeting on Zoom, and the link will be sent out to the elders so that they can join in if they're able to do that. Next Lord's Day, family worship will resume in the church And do remember that again, the church will be open from approximately 11 o'clock, and brethren will be there to help you to get seated, and of course you'll understand all of the restrictions in relation to that, but nevertheless we look forward to meeting again in the house of God. It is our building fund offering next Lord's Day. Loose collections and building fund envelopes go towards this. Of course, you'll be able to bring in your offerings as you wish to do so from previous weeks next Lord's Day morning. Baskets will be at the exits. And then 7 p.m, the gospel service will be online. We're taking a cautious approach in relation to our return. And so next Lord's Day evening, we'll be online again for the gospel service. Our sister Natasha will be bringing messages and song. We trust you'll be able to join us in person and online next Lord's Day as well. Sunday school and Bible class will be commencing soon on Zoom, and we look forward to that. I'm sure boys and girls looking forward to that in the coming weeks. We join together again in our Sunday school classes on Zoom and in the Bible class on Zoom. Look out for that. The information will be forwarded to you. Do pray for all affected by this virus and other illnesses at this time. And pray for others going through treatments and procedures. Days to come, many in our congregation need the touch of God in these days. And we trust that the Lord will touch them. Do remember and look out for people in the church. Maybe just give them a call on the phone or send them a text. And if they need anything or can be helped in any way, I know that you've been doing this for others, and I trust you'll continue to do that in the days that are to come. Could I just mention, Reverend Fitzsimons has been very ill with COVID, but there is an improvement in recent days in his condition. Continue to pray for him and his wife and family, that he make a full recovery in the days and weeks ahead. Also remember Reverend Jeffrey Abraham. He had a fall and broke his leg, and he's now recovering from that, from the surgery. Do pray for him that he will recover fully. And again, Dr. Lindsay Wilson has been ill for some months. Do remember our brother Dr. Wilson. He appreciates all the prayers of God's people, and we trust that you'll pray that he'll make a full recovery. We're grateful for all who linked in yesterday to the prayer times. It was a blessing, and many people linked in and engaged in prayer on Zoom yesterday morning and yesterday afternoon. We thank the Lord for the spirit of prayer, and let's keep up that spirit of prayer in the days ahead. Thank all the young people too on Friday night who linked into Zoom. On our youth fellowship, very encouraging. We had upwards of 30, I think, in the call on Friday night. And Reverend Moffat brought his testimony, very challenging and very uplifting and encouraging. And we had the quiz and all of that as well, which was enjoyed by all. In a couple of weeks' time, there will be the Youth Council rally that will be online and Facebook and so forth. But you'll get the information about that for the next night, when the youth right across the country are meeting together in relation to that particular meeting. So pray much for that as well. These are all the announcements that we have to make this morning. We're going to turn to the Word of God for our Bible reading in the book of Joshua chapter 22. We're progressing through the book of Joshua chapter 22 today. And the verse 1, we're reading the first 12 verses, and then we read some verses at the end of the chapter. So, Joshua chapter 22, verse 1. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh, and said unto them, "Ye have kept all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law,
which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. Now to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given possession in Bashan, but unto the other half thereof gave Joshua among their brethren on this side Jordan westward. When Joshua sent them away also unto their tents, then he blessed them. And he spake unto them, saying, Return with much riches unto your tents, with very much cattle, with silver, and with gold, and with brass, and with iron, and with very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh returned, and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go unto the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereof they were possessed, according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And when they came unto the borders of Jordan, that was in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. And the children of Israel heard say, Behold, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh have built an altar over against the land of Canaan, in the borders of Jordan, at the passage of the children of Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, the whole congregation of the children of Israel gathered themselves together at Shiloh to go up to war against them. And then moving down the chapter to verse 30, Joshua 22, verse 30. We'll continue our reading there. And when Phinehas the priest, and the princes of the congregation, and heads of the thousands of Israel, which were with him, heard the words that the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the children of Manasseh spake, it pleased them. Phinehas the son of Eleazar, the priest, said unto the children of Reuben, to the children of Gad, to the children of Manasseh, This day we perceive that the Lord is among us, because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. Now ye have delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of the Lord. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, and the princes, returned from the children of Reuben, from the children of Gad, out of the land of Gilead, unto the land of Canaan, to the children of Israel, and brought them word again. And the thing pleased the children of Israel. And the children of Israel blessed God, and did not intend to go up against them in battle, to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. And the children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar End, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inerrant, inspired, infallible word, even this morning. Let us engage in prayer as we turn to God's word today. Let us all seek the Lord's face and pray for God's blessing upon us as we meet together around the word of God this morning. Let us all seek his face in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. Give prevailing words this morning. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to turn your attention today to the book of Joshua once again, and the chapter 22, part of which we've read in our Bible reading just now. The subject today is after the victory. After the victory. Joshua led the people of God to enter the land of Canaan and to conquer the land. And then, as we've been noting in last few weeks, to distribute the inheritance to the tribes in the land. It was a pathway to victory for the people of God. And the Lord gave to His people victory. And what victory the Lord has given to all of us in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great captain of our salvation, the mighty victor Himself. And we can continually stand into the victory that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. On VE Day, May the 8th, 1945, when the American nation heard President Truman announce on radio in these terms, "General Eisenhower informs me that the forces of Germany have surrendered to the United Nations. The flags of freedom fly all over Europe." On VJ Day, August the 14th, 1945, people crowded into the streets. They were hugging one another. They were cheering. The Japanese had agreed to the Allied terms of surrender. And the war was over. Victory had been accomplished for the Allied forces. Here in this context, in Joshua 22, the soldiers from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, the 2.5 tribes, must have been especially euphoric when the Jewish conquest of Canaan had ended. For over 7 years, they had been away from their families on the other side of the Jordan, and now the victorious soldiers were free to go home. And as we look here at Joshua chapter 22, and what happened when the battles were over, there are lessons to learn for all of us even today. The subject is after the victory. First of all, I want you to see in the verses 1 to 8 of Joshua 22, their clearance. Sir Winston Churchill described a British Army officer famous in the Second World War in these terms: in defeat, unbeatable, and in victory, unbearable. Now the first half of the description would apply to Joshua because he knew how to win victory out of defeat. But the last part of it doesn't apply to Joshua at all. For as the commander of the Lord's army, he was magnanimous in the way he treated his troops after the victory. He made his soldiers great. This is clearly seen in the way he discharged those who lived on the east side of Jordan. First of all, you will notice in verses 1 to 3 his commendation of them. He commanded them. These 2.5 tribes had promised Moses that they would remain in the army until all the land was conquered, and they were true to their word. And find in Numbers chapter 32 and Deuteronomy chapter 3 something in regard to this. And after the death of Moses, they pledged the same loyalty to Joshua, their new leader, their new commander. In chapter 1 of Joshua, verses 12 to 18, you'll find that. These tribes had been loyal to Moses and to Joshua and to their brethren from the other tribes. Chapter 22 of Joshua, verse 3. "Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God." Why had they been so loyal to their leaders and to their fellow soldiers? Because they were, first of all, loyal to the Lord their God. It was His mission they were carrying out. It was His name that they were seeking to glorify. And in the service of the Lord, far above our devotion to a leader, or even to a nation, or to a people, is our devotion to the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 to 24, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." And how important it is that we give wholehearted devotion to the Lord our God. Is that how it is with you even today? He commanded them. But then I want you to see, secondly, he cleared them in verse 4. They were cleared to go home, having fulfilled their mission and kept their promise. For God had given to his people rest. And the concept of rest is important in the book of Joshua. It means much more than simply the end of the war. For that word rest carries with it the meaning of both victory and security. It involved Israel having their resting place in the land. And of course, Exodus 33 and 14, Deuteronomy 12, verses 9 to 10, and chapter 25 of Deuteronomy, verse 19, Joshua 1, 13 and 15. We see there concerning this very matter. And he kept his promise. God kept his promise to his people. The spiritual application of this for God's people today is made in Hebrews chapters 3 and 4. You see, when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we enter into rest. Because we are no longer at war with God. Book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The enmity between us and God is removed. And when we yield ourselves completely to the Lord and claim our inheritance by faith, we enter into a deeper rest, a fuller rest, and enjoy the spiritual riches that are ours in Christ. We think of those words in the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, and verses 28 to 30. Familiar verses to many. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your soul." See the emphasis on rest. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And when we come to take him as our Savior, he gives us rest. There's no rest in the world, dear friend. There's no rest in the sins of the world or in the pleasures of the world. Oh yes, you may have pleasure for a season, but there's no rest, no lasting rest, no lasting peace. But when we take Christ as our Savior, we find in him that rest. He is our rest. He gives us rest. And when we take the yoke of discipleship, we find that deeper rest that is found as we follow on with the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine what it would be like for these soldiers to return home after being away for so many years. Think of the love they would experience, the joys they would find, the treasures that they would share. What a happy experience. But that's just, dear friends, a small picture of what happens when the children of God enter into the rest that God has given to those who yield their all to him and trust his word. And so we discover he commanded them. He cleared them. But then he charged them. Look at verse 5 of Joshua 22. But take diligent heed to the commandment and the law which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Just as they had been diligent in the battle, obeying their commander, so they must be diligent in worship, obeying their God. And this was the promise that each of the tribes made to the Lord at Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And the motive for their obedience had to be love for the Lord their God. If they loved him, then they would delight in walking of all in all his ways and obeying all his commandments. Instead of trying to serve two masters, they would cling to the Lord. They would serve him alone with all their heart, with all their soul. And of course, in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 38, we read of the first and great commandment to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. First and great commandment, and then the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Loving the Lord with all your heart. Do you love him with all your heart today? And then in John 14 and verse 15 we read, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So if we love the Lord, we will have delight in keeping his commandments and obeying him, his precepts, in all of our lives from day to day. He charged them. But then I want you to see he comforted them in verses 6 to 8 of Joshua 22. And what a comfort to those who are being sent home to receive such a blessing. Joshua blessed them, verse 6 declared. It was the ministry of the high priest to bless the people. We think of those words there, the Aaronic blessing in Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. But the common people could invoke God's blessing on others, especially a leader upon his people or a father upon his family. We have the illustrations of this in Scripture in Genesis 27 in relation to Isaac, and then chapter 48 of Genesis in relation to Jacob. We have other instances of it in 2 Samuel 6 verses 18 and 20 and 1 Kings 8:55. And what a sight it was to see a great general asking blessing upon his troops. This blessing also involved sharing the rich spoils of blessing with those and their family members back home. It was the custom in Israel that those who stayed at home, who stayed by the stuff, they couldn't participate in the battle for some good reason, shared the spoils at the end of the battle. We see that in Numbers 31, verses 25 to 27, 1 Samuel 30, verses 23 to 25. And you know, my friends, today, the blessing of the Lord brings great comfort to the people of God. The blessing of God, the blessing that God bestows upon us, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. And so, we have in the first instance here in the book of Joshua how that Joshua gave his clearance, their clearance. But then we come secondly to their concern, verses 9 to 10 in this passage, Joshua chapter 22. You see, these 2.5 tribes went back to go unto the country of Gilead. They had made this their decision. Now it was a decision that wasn't made on the basis of spiritual values, but rather on the basis of material gain. You remember Lot in chapter 13 of Genesis, how he saw the well-watered plain. And of course he divided from Abraham, and his mind was upon material things rather than on spiritual values. Always very dangerous to choose material over the spiritual. You see, as these tribes, these 2.5 tribes looked at the land, they saw that the land on the east side of Jordan was ideal for raising cattle. And in both these instances that we've cited to you, that of Lot, and that of these 2.5 tribes. The people walk by sight and not by fear. By making this decision, the 2.5 tribes divided the nation, and they separated themselves from the land of Canaan. They were further away from the tabernacle, and they were closer to the enemy. And the 2.5 tribes portray believers who have experienced the battles and the blessings, but prefer to live on the border. Borderline Christians, borderline believers, outside the appointed place of blessing. In commenting on this particular situation, McIntosh said this: faith can never be satisfied with anything short of the true position and portion of God's people. And he went on to say, an undecided half and half Christian is more inconsistent than an open, out and out worldling and infidel. How did they decide to solve the problem which they themselves had created? By living apart from God's people. Look at verse 10 of the portion of God's word we've read from. When they came unto the borders of Jordan, and in the land of Canaan, the children of Reuben, the children of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh, built there an altar by Jordan, a great altar to see to. They built an altar. This was a reminder that the 2.5 tribes also belonged to the nation of Israel. Had these tribes been living in the land of Canaan, where they belonged, nobody would have questioned their nationality. But living outside the land, they gave the impression that they were not Israelites, and so they built this altar or this memorial. This is the 8th memorial that was erected in Canaan. And you can look through the book of Joshua and see the various memorials in chapter 4 and chapter 7 and chapter 8. In chapter 8 you have 3 memorials. And then chapter 10, verse 27, another one. But it's unfortunate when believers have to resort to artificial means to let people know that they are God's people. When we are living as God wants us to live, we are salt and light in this world in which we live. And the Lord uses our witness as salt and light for His glory. Are you salt and light where you live? In your going out and coming in? Where you are in the course of life, and as you go through the course of life from day to day. The people of Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh faithfully attended the feasts in Jerusalem, honored the Lord by obeying His word, talked about His word in their homes and in their families, as Deuteronomy 6:6-9 exhorts. They would be able to raise their children to know and to serve the Lord. The altar on the Jordan bank, however, was no guarantee of such success. And so we come to the third thing. We come to the conflict. Verses 11 to 29. We only read a couple of these verses today, but you can read it for yourself in your own home. What the 2.5 tribes did in erecting that altar brought them into conflict with the other tribes of Israel. You see, God had instructed His people to destroy the altars of the heathen nations in the land of Canaan and not to build altars of their own. There was to be one altar of sacrifice at the one sanctuary that God had appointed according to Deuteronomy chapter 12 and Leviticus chapter 17 verses 8 to 9. As we look here at this portion of God's word in verses 15 to 20 of Joshua 22, we discover that Phinehas was sent to appeal to them concerning what they had done. You see, they had committed a trespass or a sin in doing what they did, or a transgression. We read of that in verses 16 and verse 20 and verse 22 and again verse 31. They had turned away from the Lord. Again, verses 16 and 18, 23 and 29 indicate that, and you can look at these verses and take time to study them yourself. They were no longer following the Lord. That's the long and short of it. Look at verse 5 of the portion. They were to walk in all His ways. They were to keep His commandments, to cleave unto Him, to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. And you see, the word that's used here, trespass or transgression or going away from the Lord, indicates and carries the idea of backsliding, gradually moving away from the Lord, and how often that happens with so many people. They gradually drift away from church. They gradually drift away from fellowship. The fellowship of God's people and the company of those who love the Lord, and they gradually move away from the Lord, backsliding. Is that where you're at today? You've wandered. You're not where you ought to be. You're not where the Lord wants you to be. You're not where you need to be. The strongest word here that's used in the context is the word rebel. Verses 16, verses 18 and 19, verse 22, verse 29, which it means deliberately resisting God's will and disobeying His law. In building an unauthorized altar, as they did, these two tribes were guilty of apostasy. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And you see the wise words of counsel that were given in verse 19. Notwithstanding, if the land of your possession be unclean, then pass ye over unto the land of the possession of the Lord, wherein the Lord's tabernacle dwelleth, and take possession among us, but rebel not against the Lord, nor rebel against us in building you an altar beside the altar of the Lord our God. And see how the 2.5 tribes responded, verses 21 to 29. And they invoked the name of the Lord 6 times as they replied to these charges that were made to them. And in doing so, they used the 3 fundamental names of the Lord. First of all, they used the name El, which means the Mighty One. And then they used the word for God, Elohim, which of course is God. And then they used the term Jehovah, the Lord. And so it was a solemn oath that their intentions were pure, that the Lord knew their hearts. But you know, my friend, all sorts of questionable activities can be excused by saying, the Lord knows my heart. How many times have we heard people saying that? Maybe you've used it yourself. But Paul gives the right approach in 2 Corinthians 8, 21. He said this, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of man. It's interesting that the 2.5 tribes said they were putting up this altar as a witness, that they were still part of the people of God, Israel. What kind of witness was a huge pile of stones? It was a witness of these tribes saying, we want the best of both worlds. We want to live where we want to live, but we still want to be identified, the people of God. They talked piously about their children. It was their wealth that really motivated them to live in the east of Jordan. And somewhere near this witness altar that they established and erected were the 12 stones which the men had carried out of the midst of the Jordan River when they passed over. Joshua chapter 4, verses 2 to 24. And these stones reminded them that they had crossed the river and buried their past forever. But Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh had crossed the river and gone back again, retraced their steps. And their altar contradicted the altar that Joshua had erected to the glory of God. In chapter 3 of Colossians, we read these words. Colossians chapter 3 and the verse 1. And listen to these words of Scripture. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. I want you to see the conclusion here in verses 30 to 34 of the chapter from which we have read. And we read these verses at the end of our Bible reading. Phinehas was pleased, the delegation was pleased, the children of Israel across the Jordan were pleased. But was the Lord pleased with the conclusion of this matter? Delegation rejoiced that God, the purpose of the altar was for witness and not sacrifice, and this seemed to settle the matter. They rejoiced that God wouldn't send judgment to the land. In verse 31, that he would, that there would not be civil war among the tribes. Verse 33. But the nation of Israel was divided despite this altar of witness. Going back to Genesis chapter 13, Abraham and Lot, they were divided the one to the other. What serious consequences it led to with Lot as he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Got away from God. You see, part of the nation had a spiritual outlook, while the other part was concerned with material things. Peace at any price isn't God's will for His people. This decision in Gilead was made on the basis of human wisdom and not on God's truth. There's always a place in human relations for loving conciliation, but never for cowardly compromise. We must not compromise with truth. The stones may have been a witness, but the people certainly weren't a witness. Surrounded by heathen nations, separated from their border, the borders of the land, and also from their brothers and sisters across the river, the 2.5 tribes quickly fell into idolatry and were eventually taken by Assyria. We read of that in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 25 to 26. On September the 30th, 1938, the British Prime Minister, Sir Neville Chamberlain, just back from Germany, told a meeting at 10 Downing Street, "My good friends, this is the second time in our history that there has come back from Germany to Downing Street peace with honour. I believe it is peace for our time. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And now I recommend you all to go to your homes and sleep quietly in your beds." But less than a year later, England was at war with Germany, and World War II had burst upon the world. My friends, today, whether in our personal relationships, in our homes, or in our churches, or in our nation, in the world at large, the only peace that lasts is peace that is based on truth. Peace that is based on purity. It is a peace that demands sacrifice, it demands courage, willingness to stand up for God's word. But, oh dear friends, the results are worth it. Matthew Henry said this, "Peace is such a precious jewel that I would give anything for it but truth." Let me repeat that. Peace is such a precious jewel that I would give anything for it but truth. May we today learn the lessons of this chapter 22 of Joshua. Those lessons from God's word that relate to after the victory. and not make the mistakes that the 2.5 tribes made. That there never be on our part compromise, digression or deviation from the truth. But always a holding to the truth of God's word. For to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken in the Father for hands. May God today bless his word to every heart. Let us pray. Father, help us to imbibe the teaching of thy word. Make it a blessing, O God, to every hearer. We pray in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. We'll conclude with a hymn, again, that's been sung on a previous occasion in our church services. 497, Wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin by thine atoning blood, O make me clean. Purge me from every stain, let me thine image gain, and love and mercy reign. We're all within. Page 376. We trust you'll join in, if you have a hymn book handy, with the singing of this hymn. Let's stand as we sing. Thank you for listening in to our morning service here at Ballygan Free Presbyterian Church. We trust the Lord will bless you through his word today. You remember the evening service at 7 and join in with us again online if you can for our evening service. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your presence. Go with us in the rest of this day, we pray. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now and forevermore. Amen.